KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS False Pass.
An Australian freediver named Amber Burke walked 370 feet, a bit longer than a football field, including both end zones, breaking the Guinness World Record for the longest underwater walk. It took her weeks of training to master a swimming-like posture with her feet planted on the pool floor, and she raised money for marine conservation. Take a breath! It's Morning Edition.
Support for NPR comes from the station. And from Charles Schwab, offering investors choices like full-service wealth management, advice, investing, and trading on thinkorswim. Learn more at schwab.com. From Indeed, designed to be an end-to-end hiring solution for businesses of all sizes to attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one platform. Learn more at indeed.com/NPR. And from the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
This is Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. The mayor of Anchorage has thrown her support behind the Eklutna tribe's efforts to build a small casino on the outskirts of the city. Her endorsement comes as the Bureau of Indian Affairs has closed public comment on the project. As KMBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, it's a small piece of property that raises some big issues.
The land in question is just off the Glen Highway's Birchwood exit, only about 6.5 acres on a native allotment that could become another important test case for tribal sovereignty in Alaska. Governor Mike Dunleavy has already targeted the project in the wish list he sent to President-elect Donald Trump. He asked him to reverse an Interior Department decision last year that gave the Eklutna tribe the okay to pursue its gaming hall. In contrast, Anchorage Mayor Suzanne LaFrance has given her wholehearted support. She says the project will generate hundreds of jobs in the construction phase and even more after it opens.
We believe that there would be a spillover effect, too, that would boost surrounding businesses, hotels, and workers.
In mid-December, the BIA opened up its environmental assessment of the project for comment. LaFrance said in her written response, the assessment found no significant concerns. We'd like to formally share our support for the native village of Eklutna as it exercises its sovereignty and pursues economic development. Words that LaFrance says reflect her confidence in the tribe and its track record for environmental stewardship.
There is such an emphasis on listening, problem solving, and being very open about the situation. And so I feel like that's part of what makes the relationship so strong.
It's really good to see Mayor LaFrance embracing what the tribes have to offer.
Longtime tribal advocates like attorney Sky Starkey say the mayor's public comments on the environmental assessment are unprecedented.
They're remarkable from the standpoint that they're from Alaska. They're not remarkable if they were in many, many other states that have good working relationships with tribes.
Starkey says while other states have long recognized how tribes bring jobs and economic development to the table, Alaska's state government has been bogged down in a debate over the legitimacy of tribes.
It's a constant struggle to advance the ball, hopefully through good relationships like the mayor's and others, Alaska moves forward.
Michelle Demert agrees. She's assistant professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where she works in the tribal governance department.
Tribes are really great partners. We bring in a lot of money. We bring in a lot of resources. We want the same types of healthy communities for our villages like everyone else wants.
But a group of neighboring property owners say the mayor shouldn't have endorsed the project without hearing from them first. In a lawsuit, they argue the land does not have Indian country status that would permit a casino, which would also hurt the rural character of their community. Debbie Oseander is not part of that lawsuit, but lives about a mile from the site. Her biggest complaint is that the BIA only allowed 3 weeks for public comment on the assessment and its supporting data, which includes hundreds of pages of highly technical information. Plans call for a restaurant and space for up to 700 electronic gambling machines. The tribe says it'll use the profits for scholarships, housing, health care, and cultural programs. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
This is Alaska Public Media.
This is Ava White. Good morning. I hope you're enjoying your Tuesday so far. It's 6:49, January 7th. Sorry, it's not the 7th, it's the 14th. Right now at the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport, it's 29 degrees with clear skies, 31 degrees in Northeast Anchorage. In Eagle River, it's 25 degrees. And in Palmer, it's 26 degrees with fair skies. Back in the Anchorage area today, expect mostly sunny skies and calm winds with a high near 28 degrees. Tonight, there's a chance of snow with lows dropping into the low 20s. In the Anchorage area, the sun will rise at 9:57 and set this afternoon at 4:20. We're gaining over 4 minutes of daylight today. Roads are slick, but it doesn't look like there's any major traffic backups in the greater Anchorage area so far, but drive safe wherever you're headed. I hope you enjoy your Tuesday morning, and you're listening to Alaska Public Media.
You're listening to Alaska Public Media on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1.
After 14 albums and a Grammy Award, the Steep Canyon Rangers have become one of the most recognizable names in bluegrass music. Their quick finger-picking and creative lyrics keep audiences coming back time and time again. Don't miss out on a night with the Steep Canyon Rangers, January 18th, in the Atwood Concert Hall. Tickets available at CenterTix and AnchorageConcerts.org. This message sponsored by Anchorage Concert Association.
Support for Alaska Public Media comes from members like you and from Tidal Wave Books, encouraging children and young adults to enjoy the world of reading, including this year's Battle of the Books selections. More at wavebooks.com and on social media.
How the U.S. plans to control the spread of AI technology around the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Clear Channel Outdoor, an out-of-home billboard company harnessing innovation and technology to connect advertisers with consumers. Billboardsforbusiness.com. And by Schwab. Schwab offers investors choices like full-service wealth management, self-directed investing options, and trading on thinkorswim. More at schwab.com.
From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The Biden administration has unveiled new rules for the export of U.S.-made computer chips used in artificial intelligence. The idea is to keep the chips away from countries of concern, like China, and keep AI computing power in the U.S. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The Biden administration says powerful chips used in AI can be deployed in mass surveillance and used in weapons of mass destruction. There won't be any restrictions on exports of U.S. AI chips to 18 allies, although exports to countries under U.S. arms embargoes like China will be banned. And there will be caps on U.S. AI chip exports to most other countries. In a statement, chipmaker NVIDIA says the new rules would weaken U.S. global competitiveness and undermine innovation. The new rules aren't final, though. There's a 120-day comment period, meaning the final decision will be up to President-elect Donald Trump. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The burger chain Shake Shack told investors on Monday that it plans to expand aggressively in the next few years, very aggressively. It wants to eventually operate 1,500 stores. That is compared to just over 300 right now. Shake Shack may be trying to seize a moment. Fast casual restaurants. These are kind of in between fast food and casual sit-down restaurants. This type of restaurant has been growing much faster than other parts of the industry, which have been struggling. Marketplace's Henry Epp has more.
There's no Shake Shack where I live yet, but Jersey Mike's just opened its second location in the area, so I went for lunch.
Can I just get a regular, original Italian?
Yeah, you can do it with my bread.
Yeah.
It's next door to a new Dave's Hot Chicken and across the street from a Chipotle, all fast casual chains. They've gotten popular among diners who want better quality than traditional fast food, says Jonathan Mays, editor of Restaurant Business.
It's a fast food concept that serves a higher income consumer. And that higher income consumer is more concerned about the convenience than really about the price.
They've also benefited from diners who've been pinched by inflation, says James Cook, director of retail research at JLL.
A lot of families who, say, 4 or 5 years ago would have gone to a casual sit-down restaurant on a Friday night are now finding that too expensive.
All that's made chains like Shake Shack bullish about expansion. But that might be challenging, Cook says, because the retail vacancy rate is low.
they're going to have to be willing to spend more money probably than they expected. And they're also going to have to be willing to be flexible in where they go and what the format is.
For example, the Jersey Mike's I went to didn't have many places to sit, but I got my sandwich really fast. I'm Henry App for Marketplace.
Shake Shack stock, by the way, is down 3.4% in early trading. And with that, let's do the numbers. The Dow is up 166 points. That is 0.4%. The S&P 500 up 0.2%. The NASDAQ also up 0.2%. The yield on the 10-year Treasury keeps on moving up this morning. It's at 4.803%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, devoted to providing independent journalism that makes sense of the news shaping the world. More at economist.com or with The Economist app, newsletters, and podcasts. And by Bitwarden, securing new devices in 2025 can be quick and easy with the password manager designed to protect sensitive information across all accounts. Bitwarden.com.
Growing numbers of Americans are joining the ranks of what's called the sandwich generation. These are people who are taking care of both young children and aging parents at the same time, on top of working full-time. Recent research confirms what many already know from their day-to-day lives. This type of situation takes a toll on mental, physical, and financial health. For more on this, we're joined now by Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So have we not kind of always had a sandwich generation, a generation burdened by taking care of the people who, you know, took care of them plus their own kids?
Yes, there has always been a sandwich generation. But here's the thing. It's gotten much bigger over time. Pew Research Center, they estimate that about one quarter of American adults now belong to the sandwich generation. And adults in their 40s, they had the biggest presence. And the reason why the ranks of people joining the sandwich generation are growing, it's the combination of longer lives on average and having children later. And a majority of the sandwich generation, by the way, is in paid employment.
Yeah, so they are working on top of taking care of everybody. What does the research say about the mental health of people in this position?
On average, they can experience significant declines in their mental health, you know, including depression, anxiety, and burnout. I mean, it's no surprise there, right? And mental health concerns can persist for several years. And these insights, they come from a recently published report by researchers in the United Kingdom. And what they did is they looked at some 2,000 sandwich caregivers and compared their experience to 2,000 caregivers solely looking after a child under 16 from 2009 to 2020.
I have to say, I have seen this myself. Friends entering their 40s, things get really hard taking care of their parents and their kids. And the study you just mentioned was in Britain, of course, but presumably, I mean, do people face the same challenges here in the U.S.?
Absolutely. U.S.-based study published 2 years ago reported that nearly one quarter of those surveyed that they confronted financial strains, and nearly one half said they dealt with significant emotional difficulties. By the way, it is important to emphasize that these surveys also show that a majority of sandwich generation adults, you know, they're very satisfied with their family life.
What about employers? Is there anything employers can do or are doing to help?
You know, employers are doing more and more. I mean, they're embracing caregiving benefits. So the reason why employers are doing that is they're looking to improve productivity and employee retention in an economy with an unemployment rate of 4.1%. The problem is you have to be working at an organization that offers these benefits. And there have been various public policy proposals for better supporting all adult caregivers, yet none has really gained traction in the nation's capital.
All right. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you as always.
Thanks a lot.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
You're listening to Alaska Public Media on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1.
Alaska Public Media thanks Leadership Circle advocates Dwayne Miller and Linda McAllister, whose contributions help provide the news and programs Alaskans count on. Thank you.